I get this up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, have you got anything specific you want do today or talk about?
Marina? It was funny. I had actually a question how to pray like in a situation like with Iraq, and I just did this other hangout and it was already asked. So it was really good. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been quite a lot of things around that. You know, what can we do to change world affairs, or how do we affect the things that are going on in other nations? And you know, I think it comes down to you need to have a mandate from God to do whatever you do. And I think just because we can see something doesn't mean we have the authority to change something. Now, I remember when Ian was here, when we had a conference with him, it was when the riots and things were going on in London and spreading over here. And so, but so we felt actually, no, this is in our nation, we have the authority here to deal with that. So we went to the courts corporately, and the whole rioting stopped really quickly, you know. But we knew that we had authority to do it because we stood identificationally with our nation and accepted being able to stand in the place of those that were doing those things and identify. But you know, if you're not from Syria or in Syria or in wherever the other places are and the different things are going on, you really need to know clearly that you're authorized to deal with that. It has to be within your sphere of government, or God would give you a direct mandate to do something. I wouldn't particularly look to tackle anything that I wasn't authorized to do. You know, and I think just because we can see something going on doesn't mean that we're authorized to deal with it. You know, there are, and we don't know who what has already been organized and decreed. You know, what limits have already been put on what have been done by those that can deal with that. You know, there are, you know, increasing levels of authority in those things, right up to the Galactic Council, that are designed to put boundaries over what can and can't be done. So they met in February, and I assume that they've already put certain boundaries on certain things. So can I put extra boundaries? Did they not see those things at the time? I mean, I haven't got the answers to that. I wasn't there, so I don't know. I have. There is one of the Chancellor's houses, of the Chief Chancellor's, which is the Affairs of Nations, and there's an actual place. And I know I was talking to someone on Thursday who's actually been there, and they began to interact there with some people who were engaging in that. But you know, we're sort of in our infancy of understanding some of the of how we begin to affect those things, and if there are legal things that the enemy has, unless we see those legal things removed, then we have no authority to stop him. And if you think, you know, Jesus didn't say to Peter, "Oh, Satan has desired to sift you, and I've told him he can't." He basically said, "No, Satan has desired to sift you, but I've prayed that your faith will not fail." And so there was a legal right that Satan had to sift Peter, and Jesus could not overturn that legal right. Now, ultimately, he gave Peter the opportunity of putting that legal right, if you like, when he rescinded the three denials that Peter gave, and gave him an opportunity of saying yes three times. You know, so there was something that was done to put right what had been done wrongly. But you know, if there are legal rights that the enemy has within that nation, then we have to deal with the legal rights, and you have to have authority to be able to deal with that. And therefore, the Christians that are in that nation, or those that have been assigned authority over those nations, that they will have the legal rights, but I don't know whether they are operating in any of this sort of level of authority yet. So I think the key is not to get caught up in the fear and of it all, but to realize that, you know, if we are not operating in that level of authority, then in a general sense, you know, the things we can be doing is not to allow those things into our nation and setting the boundary stones for our nation and the different nations that we live in to, you know, operate in kingdom authority there. Yeah. But even with that, you still have to have a mandate from God to do things. You know, I think interceding in the old way will cause people to get into difficulty if they're trying to deal with these things by just praying against certain principalities and powers and things that they're under. Unless they've come above them and are operating in a higher level of authority, then they're going to be, you know, find it difficult, is my view on those things. You know, and it's so easy to act out of the compassion of our soul. When we see terrible things operating and happening, you know, sometimes we can be moved with compassion to deal with something just because our soul is so, wow, that's terrible. How can those things be happening? And those type of things. So we've got to be very careful that we're not operating out of emotions, but we're operating out of direction from our spirit and from the Holy Spirit, which can use our emotions. I'm not saying that it can't use our emotions, but emotions are a very good servant and a very bad master. And if they're directing us, they can lead us into difficult situations. And,
Do you remember when the Americans were going to bomb Syria and the Pope called a day of prayer globally?
Yeah.
At that point, I don't carry a mandate for Syria, but the Lord said to me to fast that day with that church, with that denomination, and to engage in heaven in praying for Syria. At the lunchtime, there was actually something going on at a local church, it was a good event. It was just the kind of event where you could soak and you could do that kind of stuff. And at lunchtime, he said to me, I want you to go off and just separate yourself for an hour and just engage. And when I engaged, it was really interesting. I knew the entire Catholic Church had been called to pray and fast that day. And so I just did what the Lord told me to do. And when I actually engaged heaven, I realized there were probably tens of thousands of other intercessors there, not hundreds of thousands, not millions, but tens of thousands who picked up the mandate and were standing with the Catholic Church as they fasted and prayed. And it was a really interesting development because, I sensed them in the spirit, but I didn't see them with my, you know, I saw them with my spiritual eyes. I knew there were other people.
Yeah.
I wasn't called to do that. I was just called to stand. And then the next day we hear that the Americans have made the decision not to bomb Syria, not to bomb where they were planning to bomb at that time in the way they were planning to bomb. And I really felt that was a lesson for me that, you know, not to engage beyond. But because the Pope called it and he has a global mandate for the Catholic Church, I felt that there was something in that that I could kind of engage with and not go beyond that, but just stand with them.
That
was really quite an interesting experience.
I think, you know, we're just learning these things really, and therefore that I'm sure there's going to be greater revelation and understanding and you know, greater levels of authority that are released when people are beginning to operate in some of those things. And I think, you know, God will entrust us with the dimension of authority to begin change and to stop things and to change things. But it's not as simple and straightforward as just, okay, well, this, you just go and do this. I mean, there are so many different levels of government, and we need to make sure that we're all cooperating together. You know, you don't want, you know, four different sort of court systems all operating independently. They all offer to operate according to the Father's heart. You know, and the Father's heart in things, we have to discern, because if we just look at it with our natural eyes, we can make a decision and a conclusion that, oh, well, that's all wrong. And sometimes God is in some of the situations and circumstances and the bigger picture we don't see. And so having a bigger view and a bigger picture of what's going on will come, I think, to those who are operating in greater dimensions of government. You know, it's so easy just to look at something and think, oh, well, I understand that, when you don't see the bigger picture. And so many times I've, in lots of situations, I've had to ask for revelation, particularly when ministering to people. Do I minister to remove this issue from them, or do I minister to help them through this issue? You know, and to stand with them and support them, because God is actually using this issue to train and teach them. You know, and so you don't know the bigger picture, and I think the Galactic Council type decisions may well have a bigger overall perspectives on how these things move. I mean, you know, certain events have changed the world. You know, like 9/11 and different things, they've changed the world. Now, were those events part of the purposes and plans of God? Not saying that God organized them or did them, but did he take into account the effect that that would have, and therefore those things have then had an ongoing consequential outworking in changing various people, engaging people? Now, there are, you know, I can't say I'm qualified to answer, but I've certainly got plenty of questions and thoughts about these things. And the more I'm beginning to engage in different levels of kingdom authority, the more I'm seeing that it's not as simple as what people think. But there we go. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of really interesting. I was kind of really... the only thing I was doing in the last week, just kind of, Lord, this kind of like Paul encounters for those who really do this cool stuff. But then I read this morning, I think Rick Joyner sent it out, and I thought, yeah, I mean, I guess he has enough insight not to kind of call people for this old way of prayer, but like it was sent, I didn't feel too much discernment in it. Yeah, so I thought I would like to ask, and then Alice actually took a hangout and he just answered it. It was just so amazing, I thought.
Well, you know, sometimes these things, sometimes there's an atmosphere that goes around that, because of social media and the way media gets things around the world, people can just be affected by those atmospheres.
Really.
And I think it's the effects of those atmospheres that we must make sure that we don't come under, because anything that induces fear is going to put us in a situation where the enemy has access to our lives. You know, because fear always empowers the enemy. And so we've got to make sure that we don't operate in fear ever, but we respond in accordance to God's purpose and what God authorizes us to do. You know, and that is a definite authorization or a mandate that we need to get. You know, we can't just assume. You know, it's okay. And it's not wrong in proactively seeking. God, have you a mandate for this situation for me to be involved in? And specifically seek for a mandate. If we don't get one, certainly don't act. You know, because things that do move us in our heart, you know, and those things that connect with the desires of our heart should cause us to proactively seek for a strategy or a mandate for doing something, because our hearts are moved. But we must be very careful that it's only never stepping outside of that which God reveals. I think so, yeah. Any other things?
something, James?
Regina, do you want to ask any other questions?
Yeah, I just asked the same.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. So if something is just burning, I have also another question which I would like to ask. So I followed most as I could this advice to kind of engage with the art, and I guess I'm still there very much in the beginning, but still I press in and pursue, and I also sense a lot sometimes around, like reverence and stuff. And interestingly, this morning when I was kind of spending quite a time, suddenly I felt again this engage into the eagle. It was not kind of powerfully strong, and then I just had the impression suddenly just abortion. Could this be kind of delivery of a mandate?
So what did you felt? You saw the eagle, and then you felt.
Just then, yes. Suddenly came abortion.
Abortion, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well. So the
how could I continue with it? This is a question.
What I would do in that situation, when something like that happens, you're looking to engage with something around the heart of God, and you get that thought, or you get that word, or you get something that gets dropped into your heart, then I would then look at what is God's perspective for that. So I'm going to look into what was, look into what is God saying. Is he giving me a mandate, therefore, to engage that? If so, then I need to certainly get his heart and perspective on it, so I will begin to meditate and cultivate that desire around that word or that thought, and begin to just look into it, deeper into God. Because there could be so many different ways in which God would want you to be involved in that, I couldn't even put ideas onto that, because there's so many things that just come into my mind right now that it could be to do with. That's why we need to go back then and begin to cultivate a desire out of God's heart and start to resonate with him, start to come into an alignment with what specifically he's calling you to do in that area. Because once then you look into that, then you then can begin to minister out of that with authority from your mountain. But you need to know what it is, because that is such, that word can mean so many different things. And that's why it's so important to take the time to cultivate the desire for those things, and that's really where often we get a word and then we would just go, oh, right, I need to do something about this. And no, what we need to do is look into him, look from his perspective. You've seen the eagle bringing this, which is a higher level perspective. So it's going to look down maybe on that from an apostolic viewpoint of a blueprint for something that may be one of your mountains that God is revealing to you, that you have authority in dealing with an aspect to do with that. But that's what you do, is you ask God, give me revelation. I want to see my heart's desires in this aligned with yours. And then out of that will come further clarity, if you like, about what it specifically means for you. And I would do that with everything. Just spend more time. I'd probably spend 90% to 10% cultivating desire and finding the mandates, to the 10% actually then releasing them. Because the releasing them is really easy. Actually getting the mandate in the first place and making sure your heart is aligned with God and making sure you see it from his perspective, you know, are you supposed to administer the kingly perspective to bring order into something? Are you supposed to bring the prophetic perspective, which will be decreeing the word of God for what that will be in the future? You know, are you supposed to operate in the priestly function? Actually, it may be about, okay, am I called to do something practical, to align where people have suffered from this? So is this a ministry area that I'm calling to be called into, in terms of could be maybe lie-busting people from that particular background who've suffered that, or any other things? There's so many different things. The more time we spend looking into the four faces of God and stepping into the four faces of God around the ark, the easier it is to begin to see from the specific perspective that that will release to us, so we're clear of what we're supposed to do with it. You know, and that can take some time, you know. But it's well worth spending the time, because that then, you know, authorizes you, because you begin to carry something in your heart which will authorize you to bring government out of it. So, yeah.
Did I go back to the ark and engage again, and then ask God just to increase the desire and bring the desire and with him into alignment about certain aspects about abortion, and just wait?
Yeah. That would be very much it. I would just begin to carry that in my heart, and then meditate around that, around the presence of God, and look into him and begin to ask him specific things.
Yeah.
You know, show me what this looks like from your perspective. Am I supposed to be looking from the lion or the eagle, the ox or the man? You know, what am I drawn to when I begin just to meditate around that, and the thoughts of God will begin to flow, and you'll begin to just to get a greater clarity around it, really. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so have you got anything, Jane?
Sorry, I'm just unmuting myself. Just following on from what Regina was saying there, I mean, I think what I've found really helpful is actually working with other people and being on team, if you're doing that, if people are in the same place as you in terms of understanding. And because I'm working with a number of people here, and some of us are prophetic, some are apostolic, some are more pastoral, some are very practical. And so that just really helps us to be clear, if God gives us a mandate, really what we're supposed to be doing in each of, you know, as we're doing it. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but and sometimes it isn't always possible, of course. Sometimes, you know, I have found myself on my own. But if it's all right, Mike, I did want to ask you about mentoring others, if that's okay. I was with a group yesterday, and we engaged heaven together, and I realized afterwards that I hadn't really asked them to feed back and to share what they were getting. And I thought I'd ask you if that is one of the aspects of taking a group in. I think it is, isn't it? Kind of going in with them. Because when you've done it, you've said, has anybody got anything that they want to feed back about what their experience was, and putting that into the pot and contributing. So, and I realized I didn't do that yesterday when we went into heaven. I didn't actually say to people, we ended up praying, which was fine, but I thought, yeah. So that's one of the things that you do, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And we do that when we go in as a bench of three or a set bench, different bench here. We look to get the different aspects that people bring, because we're operating in team and work, because we're operating in different gift functions, then it's important to get the different aspects of the jigsaw, if you like, so you can pull a big picture together. And then you have an overall sense of, okay, we need to get a strategy for this then, what we're seeing, rather than, oh, we've all seen something or we've not seen something, what are we going to do? Actually, once you've got a picture, okay, you may have, okay, sort of a prophetic person brings something, and that ties together maybe three dreams that they might have had or something in the past, or that have led up to this. You pull together what people see and what is currently God is doing in people that they relate to when people start to share, so that you can just get a bigger picture. And then if it's like, well, what do we do about this? Okay, well, let's go and then get a specific strategy to deal with this. You know, and you generally find that once you see the different aspects, then it's easier then to go and get specific direction for what to do with it. You know, so, and, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we often step into heaven and to see something, but when we step back out, then we start praying in this realm rather than stepping back in and administering from that realm. Because that's what we're used to. It's our default mode that we're so used to, oh, well, we'll just do this. When actually, okay, if we're going to say we've seen this, this is the overall perspective. Now, what are we supposed to do from a kingdom government perspective in this? Are we supposed to go to the courts? Are we supposed to get a judicial authority, or are we supposed to, you know, deal with something historically, or whatever it might have been that comes out of it? It's important to carry on operating in the same governmental sphere, and that helps, you know, what it does, it helps hearing different people's perspectives, shows that their different people's perspectives are valid, that we don't all see the same thing, that we're not all supposed to see the same thing. We're supposed to come out of our particular redemptive gift or area that we're governmentally responsible for. So definitely, it's an important part of it. And we, you know, and it is not magic. You know, we can step in and out, we can step back in, we can step back out, we can talk about it, we can step back in. You know, you don't sort of like, oh, we don't want to break the spell sort of thing, or because it's like this sort of thing. It's like, no, we can. It's better to talk and then go back and do what you need to do, because you're doing it from a perspective of understanding, you know. But it does take some practice, because we're not used to doing it that way.
It was funny. It was really funny, because people did start praying. I mean, I actually didn't take them back out of heaven. In my spirit, I knew that we were still in heaven, but they still started praying as if they were back on the earth.
Yeah.
And I thought, how do I actually stop this? I didn't want to interrupt them, because they were being quite anointed in their prayers. But I was thinking, I don't want to manage it too much either. I want them to be free to, you know. But it was interesting.
I mean, I think you tend to find that there will be a difference in how people are, in inverted commas, praying. It's like, are they talking to God, or are they administrating the kingdom? Because you don't talk to God in administration. You declare, you decree, you call forth, you call into being, you bind, you loose, you declare, and you speak that out from a place of authority, rather than sort of praying prayers that would be us calling on God or directing our prayers to God. Because prayer really is talking to God. You know, decreeing things isn't really praying, it's decreeing things. And so, you know, technically, you know, it's easy to get it all sort of jumbled up and mixed up, so that people are not quite clear what they're asking God to do and what he's asking them to do. And I think the clearer we become, the easier it is to realize that we are operating on God's behalf as his children. He has authorized us and delegated us authority to do with it. You know, and so often it's like, you know, I have the same thing. It's like you hear people asking God to do something, he's basically saying, well, why are you asking me? I told you to do it. And I've authorized you with the authority to do it, therefore you do it. You make the decree. You know, but, you know, again, it's a learning process, and, you know, God is not, you know, God is always smiling, so he's not offended that we're learning, and he's not disciplining us in it. He just wants to help us and train us. And so sometimes it's helpful to point out, actually, let's actually do a what do you call it, a feedback or an evaluation of what we just did. And okay, when you were praying like this or speaking like this, what was in your thoughts while you were doing that? And ask the questions. You know, create the culture of honor that enables us to learn and to grow without accusation or condemnation, but just by asking questions. And trying to see the question then bring out the understanding that then people, I was thinking this or I was thinking that, rather than, oh no, I didn't see myself in a position of governmental authority releasing that from heaven to earth. I was seeing myself here asking God to do something. Well, that will be helpful just to, you know, evaluate and see where people were thinking, because you were obviously thinking, well, we're still in the realms of heaven, but not necessarily everyone was. And so it's good to feedback and it's good to evaluate, you know, by just asking questions to get an understanding, because that you don't even have to necessarily pass comment on the answers. You just allow the answers to speak for themselves so that we can see, you know, what is it that we're doing? Yeah. Is this still coming from an old perspective or a mixture or a new one? You know, and mostly it's a mixture. But it helps to discern what is the old and what's the new in the mixture so that we can become more attuned to dealing with things in a new way. So, yeah.
That is really helpful, Mike. Thank you. That's really good. I'll definitely do that next time.
Yeah. You know, some of these things, it is a learning experience, you know. And if we see it as a learning experience, then there is no guilt or condemnation for getting it wrong, because we're not getting it wrong, we're just learning. And yes. So we're learning to take stepping stones towards embracing a totally different way of doing things. And along the way, there'll be things we learn about that, which will be very helpful. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
Jane, also, I thank you for the input you gave. Actually, I have not moment people close by. I believe God for it, that these connections come forth. So the closest which are kind of connected to me are 2 hours up to 5 hours drive, and I'm also willing to drive or whatever. I just continue, and this is a kind of also a question to you, Mike. I just continue to release and declare what we have done on the Sunday morning when you were with us. Just to call for the relationship and also the benches of free and the connections and put them also under God's protection. Yeah, I long to see that. I wish sometimes there is somebody I just could ask.
But sometimes it's like what you can do is to again take that back to God, the desire in your heart for Germany, the desire for these relationships, and ask Him for a strategy.
Yeah,
He may give you something you need to do.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to contact certain people, or you may need to, you know, God will show you that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there's quite a number of sort of the German guys who signed up for the Alpha Group.
Yeah.
You know, I've not heard back from many of them whether they got the information, but you could follow that up maybe and just make connection with them again.
Yeah.
There are different things that you can do just to facilitate relationship.
Yeah.
And to encourage people to continue pursuing things. But you're doing right. I mean, basically, yeah. Just keep doing the same thing. You can call that forth, and you know, And continue with the same process. It's like it is a journey. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, but God is working. You know, keep sending angels on assignment to connect people, you know, to connect people with revelation that they need, to connect people at the right time with the revelation that they need, you know, a stirring in people's hearts. You know, lots of things, you know, you can begin to decree and declare, you know. But God is working, you know. God's working. Things are happening that you can't necessarily see. You know, the kingdom is a huge connection of relationships, you know, and things are happening even if we can't necessarily always see them, but we can be part of facilitating that by doing our bit in it. So, yeah.
Can I add something in there, Mike,
for yeah, Regina? Sure.
Regina? At the David's Tent meeting this weekend, Regina, in the intercession tent, you might want to talk to Jonathan Cavan, if you can, because he was instrumental in effecting a marriage between Germany and England in the spirit. And although he's processing that at the moment, and I asked him if he would send me details of it because I wasn't there, but there were a number of German people there who engaged with him on that. I don't know who they were exactly. But it might just be worth connecting with him and finding out exactly what the Lord did there, and whether or not that might be the beginning of something to connect people in Germany with people in England in a, you know, within this scenario, which, you know, is quite unusual. So it might be worth emailing Jonathan and saying, I heard that, and could you give me a few more details? Yeah.
Yeah, that's encouraging, Jane. I actually talked to him at the Ian Clayton conference, and he was so excited to actually meet me because I'm translating his book. And so I wanted actually to visit them, but I think they were both, especially his wife, quite tired. Mentioned already something, and I will stay close to get what he wanted to share actually when I would have visited them. And yeah, it's encouraging. Yeah, thank you so much. I wished I could be there, but
Can't be at everything, can you? No, that's right.
Yeah,
good, excellent. You know, but that's an illustration, you know, what we did when we were in Germany. There was this sense of connection, a re-establishing a connection, and then God inspires someone else to take that another step further. You know, a lot of things are happening, you know, and you tend to then see, okay, there's a bit of a pattern emerging here. God's working in different ways, in different groups, to outwork his purpose, isn't it? Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. Okay. You got anything else?
Regina? I've just got one question if Regina hasn't.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
I had a really interesting experience. One of the pen drives I picked up at the Ian Clayton conference in Cardiff was The Spirit of Wisdom, his teaching on that, which is three sessions. And I'd already had some experiences with wisdom, where I think I mentioned before. Mm. But on this occasion, as I was listening to it, both wisdom and prudence turned up together.
Yeah.
And I felt the Lord say to me just to sketch out a picture of the two of them, which wasn't terribly good, but it was really helpful to me. And I just wondered if you could maybe elaborate. I don't know whether you've had any experience with prudence. Obviously, I've read Proverbs 8 and 9 and looked at that, and obviously Ian goes into that in some depth, but I just wondered if you had any comments on that. I know there are a number of other characters in there.
Oh, there are, yeah. I've found, I mean, in fact, the previous Hangout, I was talking about this with a group there, that they encountered prudence that came, and they were sort of like, oh, you know, this is different from wisdom. How does this work? I mean, obviously they very much work together, and and I think we need to engage with the person to engage what their function is at any one time. I mean, I think we tend to read a word, prudence, and okay, what does prudence mean? Well, it can mean so much, because they're a living being. It's not just a word, you know. I mean, being prudent, you know, is not for me what prudence is as a being, but it is helpful to engage prudence, to understand I find wisdom gives me direction and protocol in government, and that's very protocol based for me, and insight into the governmental structures. You know, she's calling to the sons of men to equip us in rulership. Prudence is much more about, seemingly when I've engaged, is about the heart behind it. Not so much as the how that you, or the what do you do, but the how. The how that it comes out of the heart. But that's just my personal experience with it. I think, again, a lot of these things come down to the personal encounter you had. What was the revelation that you received? And was that revelation specific for understanding a particular area? Because I found that they're so multifaceted and multicolored that they can engage you in one area and seemingly look like this or engaging that way, and then in another area they will seemingly be different, although they're the same, but they're trying to reveal something differently about a particular area or a particular governmental sphere or something like that. And therefore the encounters we have are symbolic for a meaning that we need to get. You know, it's okay if you're talking to Prudence and Prudence said, I am here to do this today. Then it's very clear, because she's telling you what it is that you're here to do. But if you're then just meeting and you're having some sort of encounter which is around something, a background or a color or a place, then it's really understanding, well, what was that about? You know, was it a encounter which was very specific to something? And so often, you know, there are places in heaven where we engage in government and we engage in different things, in different courts and different structures in that, which are all governmental. But there are so many places in encounters which are all about the encounter rather than heaven itself. And the encounter is what matters, because the encounter is a thing in itself. And sometimes it's like, is the encounter a parable in which there is an overall meaning to the encounter which we need to draw, or is the encounter an allegory which all the different bits of the encounter have a meaning? And that again is something we need to discern and seek for revelation about. Because it's no point looking into all the details of the encounter if it was just an overall God was trying to get over something to us, because that would just waste time. The details matter, and some of the specific details actually are indicating something within what he's trying to say, then obviously the details are important. And I think, again, once we've journaled it or written it down in some way, then it's easier then to go back to it and to talk to God about it, and then to use what we've written or drawn as a doorway back into it if it's for that. If it was very specific and it was an encounter which was a symbolic encounter to teach us something or to engage us in some way, then stepping back into it may not be possible. And that's exactly what I was talking to about a group earlier. They had a really amazing, four of them stepped in together into this amazing sort of encounter experience. But I, having heard them share it was almost like, okay, because they were asking me, well, where is this in heaven? Have you seen this place? And I'm like, nope, not seen that place. But it became very apparent that it actually wasn't about a specific place in heaven. It was about the encounter which led them into revelation of something, rather than, oh, here's a place I can go back to over and over again. Because and so a lot of these things are discernment and seeking for ongoing revelation and encouragement in it. And again, you know, I'm much more inclined now to encourage people to go back into that process. Like for you, okay, you drew wisdom, you drew prudence. There was obviously something that was significant for you. Then okay, then take that back in a sense to God, okay, and ask for revelation about it. You know, why did I have that encounter? What was the significance of this or that? Because when they saw prudence in like in an opalescent sort of way. Whereas, you know, wisdom I tend to see in terms of blue colors, they saw prudence in opalescence, which meant it wasn't very clear. You know, so and that in itself is a clue. This is not something which was really, really clear. So does that mean that I need to pursue deeper revelation about it? Because again, it may be that actually it's the pursuit that God's looking for. You know, that you're willing to pursue and go deeper because it wasn't clear. Rather than, oh, I don't really understand that, I'm just going to leave it. You know, so I think a lot of these things are very personal, and they're designed to be very personal for us. And so the general principles that, yeah, you read Proverbs 8, you read Proverbs 9, you can see that there are very clear things there about wisdom, and prudence works with wisdom, and there are various angels that are engaged with wisdom in our process of rulership. You know, and in a sense, prudence, if we're going to govern, we need to make sure we're governing from the right heart and from the right motivation and in the right way, not just governing. And I think prudence is one of those angelic beings who helps us with what's behind the rulership and government protocols. That's been my perspective anyway. So, yeah.
In there, I really felt it was a word to that prudence was a word to explore using, yep, looking at the original meanings and what they meant, but also that as a person, she was someone that I need to get to know,
yep,
for the purpose of governing. So there was a kind of two levels or two parts to, yep, the revelation, and also to develop prudence in my own heart,
yeah,
both as a person and as a concept. And, yeah, start really working on that and keep engaging with her, and understand what that fully means, so that in that aspect, I'm really kind of fully rounded. So that's really helpful. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I do believe that these things aren't random. You know, when we have these encounters, when we have some, they're not a random encounter. Therefore, there's something significant and something important why God would enable you to engage prudence against the spirit of might, or, you know, the spirit of knowledge or wisdom or any other angelic being. Prudence was obviously something very significant, and you've really got hold of the truth of it. You know, actually, yeah, there is revelation about what it means, but the person herself, you know, that angelic being will be able to instruct you or train you or equip you in a way that no one else can, because that's her design, you know. It's an area that we will, we'll see that developing really, really clearly over the next few years. Engagement with wisdom and all the handmaidens of wisdom and with the seven spirits of God in different ways, I think is going to be a key of helping us understand our position of government and authority, you know, and helping us make sure we're going to come out of righteousness to administer justice, you know, because it's so easy to come out of emotion when we administer justice, and that actually can be a wrong motivation and a wrong heart. It sounds excellent.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
So may I ask you, Jane, when you encountered prudence and wisdom, did you just step into heaven to encounter her, or was it kind of what happened to you in a way, or did you seek for it on purpose?
I was exploring, listening to. I was listening to the Ian Clayton first talk on his Spirit of Wisdom pen drive, MP3, and I was reading my Bible at the same time because he was preaching out of Proverbs 8 and 9 and teaching from that. And I had been exploring that because I'd met Wisdom a few months ago and wanted to. So I knew those passages reasonably well, and then. I was involuntarily taken to a place where Wisdom and Prudence were just standing there, and because I'd met Wisdom before, she was familiar, but then Prudence moved out from behind her, and in the verse that I was reading, Prudence came after Wisdom in Proverbs 8, and she moved out from behind her, and they were wearing very similar clothes, but Prudence looked so different, and I got this just kind of woomph that I just needed to get to know her more. So that's how it happened, really. And, you know, so that's basically it. But I didn't know what that was for, but it just came out of listening to Ian teaching and reading my Bible at the same time and having time with the Lord, really.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, the actual verse, I think, says, you know, I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence, and so there's a sense where they dwell together, they work together, and then it says, and I find knowledge and discretion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that comes out of those attributes. Again, you have four there to make a window for something to be opened, and just, again, you get those little patterns where two form an arc. Of manifestation, and then you then therefore have four things mentioned there together, you know. And the next verse says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way. And so there's a following on that those working together will definitely be part of the process that prepares us for rulership, because you know, we can't rule with pride and arrogance, because that will lead to a perverted mouth, it says, which means we will begin to say things out of our soul rather than flowing out of our spirit. So I think, you know, that there are things there that are going to take us deeper into understanding the whole thing of rulership and how we rule. But that's good. Very good.
Well, I certainly enjoyed the experience.
It was
pretty awesome. I really, but just, you know, just, it's just so nice. It was almost fun. It was quite overwhelming, but it was really, I mean, we don't have words to describe these experiences, but I would say, yeah, it was so enjoyable meeting them. It was really an enjoyable thing, full of joy, full of just delight, really. So,
yeah. And I think that's the reality of these encounters. You know, like, you know, you meet some people and you feel certain things around them. You meet others, you feel certain things around them, and it's just like that with angelic beings. They carry something. They have a fragrance. They have a sort of frequency about them that just radiates that. You know, those sort of emotions, those sort of feelings when you connect. You know, the spirit of the fear of the Lord does not radiate the same things as the spirit of might or the spirit of knowledge or wisdom. You know, they have a different frequency, a different sound, a different fragrance, a different color that all indicates that they are very individual. And that's what we pick up when we're around them. You know, and so they are real personal experiences, which, you know, it's great when you describe them, and it's like, because it's real, you know, these are real things. which is awesome, really. Yeah, excellent. Okay. Right, okay. Well,